Good morning. May I add my welcome to Peninsula Bible Church. It's good for you guys to be here. A few weeks ago, right towards the end of the summer, I flew to Missouri to pick up one of my children from a summer camp that he was attending there. And a bunch of stuff happened with the flights. My first flight got delayed, so I was going to miss the second flight. So all this mess, and I got rerouted. So I ended up flying into Arkansas. Jay, yeah? Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then I had to drive from Arkansas to Branson, Missouri. I know most of you are very familiar with that drive, so I don't need to describe it to you. But I was flying in, and I landed at 11 p.m., and I had a two-hour drive to get to where I was staying for my hotel. And if you're not familiar with that drive from Fayetteville to Branson, there's not a lot in between those two places. And it's very dark when it's midnight, all right? So I landed, and I get my car, and I start driving, and there is nobody on the road except me, driving through rural country areas in the dark. But, you know, I needed to stretch my legs, so I stopped at one of the few areas I went through where there was actually a store. I went to a convenience store and kind of went inside, and I think it was just me, but I felt like everybody was looking at me funny. And maybe most people do most of the time. I don't know. Maybe it was midnight. What was I doing there? I don't know. But it felt a little weird. Get back in my car, and I leave, and I'm driving back on the road, and then I notice somebody's driving right behind me, like close. Their headlights are there. So I give it a few minutes, and they don't leave. And so then, you know, my mind starts racing, because who knows what those Missourians might do, right? So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're gonna carjack me, they're gonna run me off the road. You know, I'm looking around the car, I'm like, what do I have I could use for a weapon? Would I even use it if I had it? What's going on? My poor children are gonna be left fatherless, my wife, what's going on? I mean, my mind is just racing and they're still there, and I'm thinking, great, they're just waiting till I'm deep enough in the woods that nobody will hear me screaming, you know? And then it happened. They turned off and I was fine. Turns out there was really nothing to be afraid of at all. Fear is a powerful emotion. Fear can do stuff within us. Fear inspires us, it motivates us, it excites us. Our whole body can feel the sense of fear. We come up with plans, we concoct stories, disaster scenarios. Fear can control us. It can make us do things and think things that we would never before have thought possible. Fear can drive us. It's our last Sunday in the book of Proverbs. We've called this series Choose Wisely as a way of highlighting that what the Proverbs do is they present to us paths. Paths that we might choose, one or the other. And the statements in the Proverbs are not meant to be promises. They're not things that are true all of the time in every situation. They're broad observations about the kinds of consequences that our choices in life carry. Proverbs speaks a lot about fear. In fact, it probably speaks more than any other book in the Old Testament about fear. This morning, we're going to try to understand what it means when it speaks of the fear of the Lord. It shows up right in the beginning in the first part of the book in Proverbs 1, verse 7. We're told, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what does that mean? Is that fear the same kind of fear that I felt on that country road in Missouri? Is it an entirely different kind of fear altogether? Is it something in between? What does it look like to fear God? This question we're going to be asking is simple. This morning, we're going to be asking a simple question. Whom do you fear? Now, to be honest, the Bible is a bit confusing on the subject of fear. 14 different times in the book of Proverbs, we are told very clearly, fear the Lord. But in Genesis 15:1, when the Lord appears to Abram, the first thing the Lord says is, fear not. In Exodus 20:20, Moses tells the people, do not fear. When the angel comes to Mary in Luke 2, verse 10, he tells her, fear not. And Jesus himself in Luke 8, verse 50, says, do not fear, only believe. So are we supposed to fear or not? Which is it? The confusion continues. In the New Testament, Peter tells the church, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says of ministers of the gospel, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. He speaks of fear as a motivating factor. And he tells us in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then he says in 1 Timothy 2:17, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And in the midst of one of the most frightening scenes, one of the most terrifying visions in the Bible, Jesus himself appears in Revelation 1. We're going to look at this next week. And he says, fear not. Well, I've convinced you that I can use my Bible software and search for the word fear. It shows up a lot. But I hope I've also convinced you that it's a confusing thing. That the Bible, on one hand, encourages us to have this particular kind of attitude towards God, but on the other hand, we're comforted and told not to fear. We don't talk much about fearing God these days. I think we're more fond of the passages that speak of God as a comfort, that speak of God as a kind Father whom we run to, who embraces us. God who loves us so much that what could there possibly be there to be afraid of? We like those kinds of notions of God. But if that's all we think about, then we're missing something. And if we're missing something key to who God is, then we have to ask ourselves, do we really know God? If there's a part of him, if there's an essential attitude we're supposed to have towards him, and we're missing that, we don't like to think about that, then have we really come to know him? Do we really know him at all? This morning I have a very simple goal for us. Convince us to be afraid of God. Sounds a bit odd. Even the change in language I think sounds odd to me. Fearing God sounds okay. Being afraid of God, I don't know about that, but we're going to explore that. What does this look like? How should we feel towards God? And what does that do to our lives? What does it look like to live in the fear of God? Let's ask God to help us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Not just welcome, you are needed. God, we need you to enlighten us. We need you to clarify. We need you to guide us. Thanks for the words of this text, for the revelation of yourself. And we should expect it to be confusing because you are greater than anything we know. But help us as we seek to understand so that we might truly know you and follow you faithfully. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's start by thinking about our fears. What are you afraid of? Go ahead and shout it out. What do you fear?
My boss.
My boss. Good. What else?
Earthquakes.
Earthquakes. Good fear. Say again. Spiders. That was the first one in the first service. Took the third, so pretty good. Okay, spiders. What else? Snakes.
Homelessness.
Someone say failure over here? Yeah. What else?
Suffering.
Say again? Government. Is that right?
Judgment
sorry. Maybe government too. Maybe I'm projecting. I don't know. I'll hear what I want to hear. Thanks. The dark. Thank you. Yes.
Something happening to your children.
Absolutely.
Violence.
Liberals in charge. All right, let's stop there and move on.
and,
No one in charge. That's a good fear too. Ice cream running out. Thank you. That should have been at the top of our list. These are legitimate fears, right? Nobody wants the ice cream to run out. I mean, truth is, there is a lot to fear in our world. There are a lot of situations, there are a lot of things that could happen to us, that could happen to people we love, that have happened to us, that are painful, that cause us suffering, that we want to avoid. There are a lot of legitimate fears in our world. But listen to what Proverbs says about fearing something other than God. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man lays a snare. This is a huge one. I think this wraps up a lot of the fears that we have. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of what people think of us. We're afraid of disappointing the people around us, of being rejected, of being betrayed. Of all the things in life, it's funny that one of our most desperate fears is the person sitting right next to you, betraying you, or hurting you, or being hurt. We fear each other. And when we fear people, we're controlled by them. We do things to please them. We do things so that they're happy with us. We do things so that the fears that we think might happen won't happen. We try to control the situation. A 2012 article in Psychology Today talks about this as people-pleasing. We're probably familiar with this word. And it suggests that how being a people-pleaser can lead to severe health consequences. The author talked about fear of rejection or fear of failure. Things that came up for us. But notice what Proverbs has to say about this. Proverbs doesn't say, don't fear those things because they're unreasonable. Proverbs doesn't say, don't fear those things because nothing bad will happen. Proverbs doesn't even say, don't fear those things because you ought to fear God and God's feelings are hurt when you fear other things. Doesn't say it's wrong to fear man. What does it say? The fear of man lays a snare. Fearing things other than God is dangerous because it simply doesn't work. The fear of man leads you not out of danger, but into a whole other kind of danger. Fearing man doesn't work. My children reminded me of this story before I preached in the first service. That I told them about how when I was a kid, what I did to protect myself. So my bedroom was on the second floor of our house, and the window of my bedroom opened up onto the garage roof, which meant you could very easily climb out of my bedroom onto the garage roof, or alternatively, somebody that you don't want to be climbing into your house could climb on the roof and climb into my bedroom window. See where this is going? So as a kid, I was terrified of this, convinced that somebody was going to climb onto our garage roof, break into my window, and do all sorts of terrible things. But I had a plan. You want to hear my plan? Here's my plan. I'm not sure how old I was, but my plan was I would take my blanket and I would put my fingers inside my blanket so you couldn't see my fingers on the inside, and I would pull my blanket right up, right under my chin. Because my reasoning was, if somebody breaks into my room, they'll look over and say, oh, that's just a head. Because it's totally normal to have a head lying in a bed, and they wouldn't bother me, because why would you bother a head, right? I'm not sure how old it was, probably, 16 or so, I don't know. But as you can tell, my plan had a few flaws in it. And I think that's what this proverb is trying to illuminate for us. Because it's easy now to look back and realize how ridiculous my plan was. But if we really think about the kinds of things we do every day to protect ourselves from the kinds of things we're afraid of, maybe they're not that much more sophisticated. And maybe they don't work any better than my brilliant plan did, protecting me from an intruder. The fear of man lays a snare. It doesn't work. It doesn't protect you from the kinds of things that you want to be protected from. And when you fear people, when you fear other things, what you do is you put them in the place of God. You bow down to them. You allow them to control you. And so before we even talk about fearing God, before we think about what that looks like, we have to think about the kinds of things in our lives that we fear instead of God that stand in the way of that. The ways that our fears are misplaced and the things that we do in the wrong direction. So our first encouragement this morning, before thinking about what to fear, is to lay down those fears that we have that prevent us from coming to God. Do not fear. We have to lay down the things that we're afraid of in life. Now, I got to tell you, you picked the wrong service to come to this morning. Because in the first service, I kid you not, you have to find someone for the first service and ask you, right as I started talking about not fearing, that drum, without a drummer, started sounding. It was strange. It actually wasn't the drummers coming from the amplifier, but it was like boom, 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 boom. And I'm saying do not fear, and there's a drummerless drum sounding behind me. So everybody's wondering, is it going to happen again? Like, is God pleased with me or not pleased? I don't know. I think it was just an amp malfunction. Nonetheless, even drummerless drums don't have to be feared. Now, personally, I feel like God's been teaching me this lesson lately, talking to me about the things in life that I'm afraid of happening, the people that I'm afraid of judging me or having poor opinions of me, and asking me gently to let go of those fears. But it's a risky thing to do. Because those things that we're afraid of, when we let them go, who knows what could happen? We think, we're so convinced that we have to hold on to those things tightly. We have to control the situation because if we don't, we have no idea what's going to come. But Proverbs reminds us that that's just putting us in danger of something else. And letting go of the fear, saying do not fear doesn't mean don't worry, it'll be fine. It doesn't mean all those bad things you're worried about, they won't happen to you. That's not what it means at all. What it means is that in the midst of those things, God will be with us. So that's where we're going. That's what we're going to see. But for now, we're convinced that fearing the things on earth doesn't work. And after we've let go of that, after we've finally taken that step to let go of those fears, then we're prepared to turn to God. Let's look again at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again, Proverbs 9:10 echoes this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've talked a lot about wisdom in Proverbs. These words are basically parallel in the book of Proverbs. This is the way of life. These are the choices that lead to good things. But what does this mean? What is the fear of the Lord? I wish I could tell you that the Hebrew word really illuminates this and helps to make sense of this, but basically the Hebrew word means fear. So it's not very helpful. It's used when in times in battle. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it's used to say, if you're afraid of dying in battle, don't fight, go home, let someone else fight. So it's just basically fear. Now, I've heard a lot of times people try to soften that. They say, well, it means respect. Or, well, it means reverence or honor. We want to take the edge off of it for some reason. But why? Why are we so afraid to be afraid of God? What's holding us back? We're uncomfortable with the idea that we ought to fear God, and we work hard to get around that idea. But consider this, if God really is who he says he is, if God really is all-powerful, he can do anything. If God really is all-knowing, he knows it all. He knows those things you work hard to conceal. If God is all present, if he is everywhere, isn't it pretty normal to fear such a being? To just be afraid of that kind of power? This summer, my whole family had the opportunity to learn to scuba dive. I know some of you have done that, and it was an incredible experience to go underwater and breathe, first of all, and then to see this whole world of fish and plants and animal life that in fact covers 70% of our planet, but we can never go there. On the way home from that trip, we flew in a plane 30,000 feet in the air. And of course, we kind of complained how long it took. But 100 years ago, that kind of travel would have been completely impossible. Lately, I've taken up running, and I sometimes like to run on trails. And when I'm feeling great, I can run up a hill. And I get up to the top, and I feel pretty good about myself. Look what I've done. But all of those things are nothing. They're not even drops in a bucket compared to who God is. Think about God, the one that made each and every fish, that constructed the plant life, that poured the oceans into being, that holds all that together. The God who doesn't need to fly through the air, but who created the air and doesn't need to travel at all because he exists everywhere at the same time. The God who formed those hills out of his hands and with the breath of his mouth can blow them into dust. That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the kind of God that we believe in. And if we don't have some base level fear, we're not very smart. We have to start with fear of a God like that. We need to rediscover the fear of God. Fear God. I think many of us have lost this. I think we're so concerned with thinking about God's care for us and his comfort of us, which are absolutely true, but we've kind of cozied up in a casual way, and we've forgotten the awe and the power of the God who created everything. I think we need to rediscover this, to understand. We've come up with kind of a pragmatic faith that we believe in Jesus and we trust in him and we read the Bible and we study the Bible and we go about our lives. But most of us, I think, most of the time are convinced that the things in our lives, the powers that be around us, they just seem bigger than God. And it sounds stupid to say it out loud, but I think that's how we walk around. The people and the circumstances, the spiders and the rejections and the fears for our children, those things seem bigger because they're closer to us than God's power. Fortunately, God has given us an antidote to forgetting his power. The words of this book remind us of that. And in particular, there's one book that speaks a lot about the power of God and helps us to develop a sense of fear. Next week, we'll kick off a series in the book of Revelation. The genre of that book is called apocalypse, and that Greek word comes from the word to uncover or peel back. And I think this is what we need. It's not that we don't know God is powerful. We know that. You would answer right if I asked you. But we just forget. So we need to peel back the powers of this world, see underneath the things that loom large in our vision so that we can recognize God again and walk in that kind of knowledge and that kind of fear. That's what my prayer is for the book of Revelation, that it will help us to see the unseen, to live with that awareness. That's the path to fearing God, to recognizing who he really is. And when we do that, when we live with that kind of fear, something changes. Something is different in our lives. And Proverbs speaks about that. It talks about what happens when we fear the Lord. Let's go back to our main verse again, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Notice that fear is the beginning of something. It's not the end. It's not the goal. Fear starts us along a path that arrives somewhere. Where? What does fearing the Lord lead to? Well, if you read all the verses in Proverbs about the fear of the Lord, you start to get a pretty consistent picture. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life." Proverbs 22:4, "The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." Proverbs 14:6, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence." Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied." A good summary is Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." So the fear of the Lord starts us along a path that leads to life, this rich, full, vibrant idea of life. And in one sense, we've already seen why that might be true, because it's just the normal thing to do to fear a God who is as powerful as our God is. That makes things go well in general. But there's something deeper here. You might recall Jesus saying something similar to this proverb. In John 4, a thirsty woman asks Jesus for a drink, and he says this, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The Greek word here used for spring is the same word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Proverbs to talk about fountain of life. So there's this idea of a fountain of life, a spring of life, and somehow fear of the Lord leads us on this path to this life that Proverbs promises and Jesus talks about. And on the surface, we love that, because when we hear about life, what we think it means is God's going to make my life work. He's going to make things come out the way I want them to. And gosh, I'm so glad he's on my side. So glad that God's got my back to make sure my agenda wins the day. Sounds like great news, but that's not what it means. See, to understand this, we have to understand, what is that life the fear of God leads us toward? And lately I've been learning something that fills me with fear about God. See, God's not particularly concerned about making me comfortable. God's not in the business of making my plans for my life come to fruition. I've got a script. I can tell you how things are supposed to go. But God seems to have his own plans. He seems to take the long view. And so when he talks about life, what God's talking about is life in eternity. And I'm glad for that, but for a person like me, and maybe you're similar, it's hard enough to think about next week, much less eternity. So this long view is challenging, because if what God's talking about is eternity, if it's the long view of life, then what that means is that in the interim, he might ask me to walk through things that sure don't feel like life. And I'm discovering that to be true. Shouldn't we have a healthy dose of fear for a God who asks his one and only son, his beloved son, to endure suffering and humiliation and torture and execution along the path to life? This is what God sometimes asks us to go through. Now, I've had my share of suffering. have experienced loss and grief. And I know some of you, some far more than me, have experienced hurt and pain and betrayal. I've walked with a lot of you through those things. Some of you are experiencing them right now. Things that don't make sense. Choices that people make that you can't control. Things that happen to you. People who walk away. Decisions that are unclear and painful. God asks us to walk through those things. And sometimes we can think, well, you know, if all this stuff is happening, then maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I'm not fearing the Lord. And if I just get myself back right with God, if I just return to fearing the Lord, then I'll experience this fountain of life. Then things will work out. But that's not the message of the Scriptures. The message of the Scriptures is that those things happening, enduring those situations, that is what walking in the fear of the Lord looks like. Because God's got the long view, and he's doing something bigger than what we can understand or anticipate. But our natural response, which protects us most of the time in life, our natural response to something we fear is to run away, is to create space, get as far as we can from it. But here's the thing with God. We fear God, and we don't know what he's going to ask us to do, but we stay close. This is where faith comes in. When we have faith in Jesus, we believe that God might ask us to walk through hard things, but eventually we will see the redemption of all things. When we have faith in Jesus, we know that we will suffer in this life, but we also believe that God will give us a life to come. When we put our faith in Jesus, our lives may not play out according to our script, but we trust that God has a greater script at work. We fear God, but we stay close to him. In fact, we cling to the one whom we fear. That's faith. And so we begin with fear, but we complete our fear with faith. Have fear with faith. How many of you still get a little scared when you fly in an airplane? Yeah, just a little bit. I think the rest of you are lying, but that's okay, you know. We'll talk about that later. Or you should be scared. I mean, do you realize you're 30,000 feet up in the air? If things just stopped, you'd fall and end of story, right? You should be afraid. It's ridiculous that we can do this thing. But we trust and we know these statistics and we kind of sort of understand the science of it, and so we keep buying tickets and flying places. But that's, I think, what walking in the fear of the Lord is like. We know that we're in a vulnerable position, that if God just let go, it'd be done. But we also know that God isn't going to let go. And so we have this fear, we have this awareness of our dependence minute by minute on him. But our faith allows us to trust in his goodness and trust that he'll hold us. And because of that, we can cling to him. We can stay close to him because we know he's good and we know he'll stay close to us. We can avoid that temptation to run from our fear. And we can stay close to Jesus. That's what fear with faith looks like. Clinging to the one who has more power than we could begin to understand, because we trust in his goodness and we believe in his plan. Let's go back to those dark country roads in Missouri. What was I afraid of? I was afraid of suffering, pain. I was afraid of a violent encounter. I was afraid that my children would be left fatherless, my wife husbandless. And all of those things, maybe they weren't reasonable in the moment, but those things could happen. There's a lot of legitimate fears to have. But did my fear help me? Did it work? Did it protect me? Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Some of us have lost our fear of God. We've forgotten that God is as powerful as he is. And we need to reset and remember and peel back to see underneath the powers of this world. But others of us are terrified of God. We know how scary God is because we've experienced scary things. We need to remember that even as we fear God, we can cling to him because he's good. And because that path he has us on, painful though it might be, leads to life. Whatever you're afraid of in this life, let it go. Open your hands. Don't worship false gods. Fear the one true God who has power over everything. Start with fear and turn to faith. Whom do you fear? Fear God and live. Amen.